Welcome to Let's Get Serious with Erin Michaels, where I will be your host. This is the podcast where we discuss issues from a queer youth perspective. So listen up, bring an open mind, and let's get serious. This is the first podcast, the first episode. And with this one, I kind of wanted this to be an independent one where it's more personal. And I really talk to you about why I started this podcast and my whole story in general. So as you may know, there is a lot of talk about LGBTQ plus kids in the media and in the government and in politics. And I feel like nobody is really hearing us and giving us a space to talk. So I decided to create my own space here with my podcast to say what I need to say and share the thoughts that I have without, you know, having to restrict myself or hide anything. This is really where I let it all out and show you my perspective. Really, oh my gosh, my story is long, so I'm like trying to figure out where to start here. Okay. I'm going to take it to elementary school. So in elementary school, I was severely bullied, physically and verbally. It was really bad. My mom had to get the police involved in everything. This is before I came out, so this is just, you know, me as a kid. My mom was lied to by the principal because there were a whole bunch of pages of assaults that I went through at the school that she reviewed. But the principal just told her, you know, that boys will be boys and that it was nothing, or, you know, that we were just playing around. But then my mom actually found out that I was actually being assaulted and things. And I was pulled out of the school. I went to another school. And there, I wasn't really being physically assaulted. More just people just being rude to me. And I felt very alone. I didn't have any friends. There was a rumor going around that I was gay. But, you know, at the time, I didn't even know I was gay. So, throughout all my elementary school years, I wasn't really thinking about my sexuality. I wasn't thinking about who I was. I was just living and being who I was. So there was a rumor that I was gay. And then once I hit the sixth grade mark in September, I was moved into homeschool. And that quite literally saved my life because I was on the verge of suicide. And it was a really horrible experience. And then at some point, as I... through homeschool, I kind of got to know myself more, and I wasn't distracted and being, distracted by other kids or other people. So that was really a time where I could actually just focus on me and who I am as a person, especially being home. So at some point, I realized I was gay. Then I came out. If you want a little bit more on that story, you're going to have to comment down below that you want the story. I come out. I tell my mom, I don't think people realize that I didn't just dive straight into wearing a full face of makeup and just got straight into drag. Like, there's a whole process that happens before that. So I told my mom that I wanted to do makeup, but not just any kind of makeup. Because at the time, I did theater makeup, which is, you know, just like, you know, paint my whole face a galaxy, transform myself into Michael Jackson or to Prince. And what was really funny is that I only chose celebrities who wore makeup. So that was my way of getting into that. But then I told her that I actually wanted to do pretty makeup, like actual glam makeup. And at first she was like, no, because she didn't see any boy or any man like that wear makeup. She's only like really seen RuPaul and that on TV, but when she saw it was like grown folks. So she had in her head like, okay, when you're grown, you can do what you want, but as if right now, no. So then she had realized that, you know, there was like people like James Charles or, you know, actual boys who wore makeup on the internet. And after she started to see that, she warmed up to it a bit, and she like didn't realize there was a whole community on YouTube of those kinds of people. So then it was like a slow process. Like at first she gave me clear mascara and lip gloss. I was living my best life thinking it was a full face. And then she, with my theater makeup, she gave me the opportunity like to practice glam makeup at home. And it was horrible because, one, I didn't have the right products. I was using theater makeup and I had a whole clown face on and I thought I was eating the girls up, which I, in fact, was not. It was really bad. It was horrible. And my mom was concerned and she's like, oh, gosh, is this the makeup you're going to do? So she went on the e.l.f. website, an actual makeup website with actual beauty makeup. And she was like, if you're going to do this, you're going to learn how to actually do a full face of makeup, but in a very pretty, soft, youthful way. And I started wearing makeup at that time. It was a full face, but not in the way you would think. A very soft, pretty, you know, nothing too extreme. Definitely like keeping it age appropriate. So I kind of thought that my whole career was going to be makeup because I really started to get really interested in that. And I was just looking at YouTube influencers and just, you know, the whole entire makeup industry. And I thought that I was just going to be a whole makeup artist, but that was just going to be like a little aspect to who I was. I saw RuPaul's Drag Race and I saw how they lip sync and perform. And I wasn't new to the performing world when it came to performing. I used to actually be a Michael Jackson and Prince impersonator. I also used to impersonate Bruno Mars. I did it for all my school talent shows, mostly Michael Jackson. That was like the main person I looked up to and was inspired by. So when I saw RuPaul's Drag Race, that was kind of like me finding interest into that performing world again. And I told my mom, I was like, I want to do that. I want to do drag. And then again, at first she was like, not right now, but later. Because when you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, it's all adults. And I can see how it's kind of hard to look at that and be like, how the heck is a child going to do that? So on my 13th birthday, that was the first time I was able to get into drag. She found a very age-appropriate way to do it. It was all neons. I had like all these like butterflies all over me. It was this very colorful look, almost like, you know, JoJo Siwa 2.0. Very kid appropriate, but, you know, my way of getting started. And my 13th birthday was a lot. It was probably the, if not the most memorable day of my life, but also the most life-changing because a lot happened during that day. We went to Hamburger Mary's, and when we first got there, there was already, like, a little drag show going on, and then it was over. We had dinner. Someone paid for our dinner, and I was asked to go on stage. And at that time, it's been years since I've been on a stage. And I was just like really nervous. I'm like, oh gosh, am I going to do this? And on the spot, it was just like a random song. They were like, what song you want to do? I was like, Who Run the World? It was a song that I listened to. So I was like, I'll do that. I got up there unrehearsed, just all the moves that I've memorized from Beyonce. And I performed it right then and there. And that's when I realized, I was like, okay, so I want to be a performer. And I was just on cloud nine because there were people stopping by in their cars, like telling me that I looked gorgeous. I was not that used to getting so many compliments at one time because, like I said, my whole life I was bullied, but that also came with, you know, the verbal bullying and, you know, people just saying rude things to me. So when people all in that same day were just had nothing but good things to say about me, I literally was on cloud nine. There was a whole group of people who sang happy birthday and Hamburger Mary's. It was just a whole entire moment of joy. And that's what did it for me. That's why I decided I wanted to do drag. And our server, who is Chloe Katz, which is the drag queen I work with now, was the one who got me into the performing world. We're like, are there any spaces for youth people like me? And they're like, yeah. So they started naming out all these, you know, youth organizations. And they were actually like the first one to reach out to me because they were starting an all ages drag brunch. And they reached out to me first and they were like, I want you to perform. And that's how I kind of get started with them. So now I do a monthly drag brunch every first Sunday at the R Bar. Go ahead, check it out. You have to come see it with my friend Wanda. It's a whole fun time. But yeah, they were the first ones to reach out to me. So then I started performing, and I got on a TV show, Generation Drag, still streaming on Discovery Plus. That a lot of things were happening at the same time. Like, it was almost overwhelming. Like, things were changing, like, in order, but really fast. It's like, okay, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. Like, it was like I didn't get a chance to actually breathe. It was like, there's more, there's more, there's more. So, it's been a while. I've been performing, I've been doing the thing. And then I started getting into advocacy, and I spoke on the steps of the Capitol, and that was a surreal moment for me. I've always, like, looked at the state capitol in Colorado, and I was always like, wow, that's a really pretty building. And I've been inside before for a school field trip, and it was, like, all so gorgeous and everything. But to actually think that one day I'd be standing there on the steps fighting for my own rights was, like, a whole different story. Like, I never thought that I was going to do that. And it happened. So I'm performing, I'm doing advocacy, I'm basically living my dream as a teenager. And I know not a lot of people get to say that, and I don't take that for granted. It's amazing that I have a family who supports me and accepts me so much to be who I am. And because I get to be who I am, I get to live the dream I want to live. And I have resources, and I have people around me to help push me and help me become the person I want to become. And at some point I found Camp Scene, which is, under UCN, and that's a queer camp for, queer kids. And that's where I was really able to find connection, because while I was performing and doing all these things, I still didn't really have friends. Like, I was still on my own, and, I wasn't really finding as much queer youth as I thought there was. But after, going to UCN, I didn't realize, like, that was that much, and that I was actually, able to have a connection to other queer kids. And I realized how important it was to have connection and friendship within your own community. And now, like, I don't feel so alone because of that. And I'm able to be around kids who are like me and relate to me. And, when I'm going through something or I have a problem, like, I could go to them knowing that they'll understand, because we're, almost like the same struggle, same issues. We're like, we're both trying to survive in this world as queer youth. So UCN really did that for me. And I'm so glad to be part of this space where I truly get to be myself as a human being. And, My whole thing is to push other kids to be who they are, whether they're queer or not. It's to, have your own voice. And, yeah, that's basically, like, the whole story there. I'm working on a lot of projects right now that I can't wait to, share with the world and, get it into fruition. So, yeah, I'm really excited for what's more to come, because I'm only 15 years old. And this is just beginning. I barely tapped the surface of the earth. Like, this is already happening really early. And it's just showing me, that God has my back. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And when I see that the timing and the people are put in front of me, I just know it's all him. Like, for me, it's undeniable. Like, I see it and I'm like, it's happening. Like, he's there for me. And I can feel, what's to come in a way. Like, I know I'm not, like, just, completely immune to the fact that I, won't receive hate. Like, I know that I'm going to get hate. I know that there's going to be a lot of things said about me or, just who I am. And I'm prepared for that. And I'm ready for that. And I feel like me being bullied in school was preparation for how the world is. And that's just the sad truth. And that it only made me stronger as a human being. So when I get told stuff, when people go on the internet and, debunk the brunch that I'm doing and say a whole bunch of things, it doesn't affect me as much because I'm like, I've heard worse. And I know what you already think. And it's not, you know, I'm not surprised. I'm not like, oh my gosh, everybody hates me. Like, what? No wonder, like, you know. So I know this is definitely a new thing. And this generation, I know, is starting something new. And that is having a voice. And queer children are definitely more on the horizon. We've always been here, but now we have social media. So we get to go on there and be like, hi, yeah, we exist. So adults are just now seeing that. And I'm excited to see where I go as an adult. And my whole goal is to just live unapologetically, but then to help other people live unapologetically, but then to also spread the message of love, because I feel like that's something that the world has failed to do, is show people love. And that's really all we need, and we need to hear each other. That's another reason why I wanted to start this podcast. No one is hearing each other. We're all saying things, we're all starting rumors, making all these assumptions without just hearing someone's perspective, hearing what someone else is going through. Because you can say all these things about me, but you don't know what happens for me behind closed doors. You don't know what I go through. You don't know how I see things. So I think it's important for people, you know, to see a podcast like this and to see my view. And I'm going to invite a lot of more queer guests and a lot more queer youth to get their view, you know, because although we might all have the same thing in common with age, we still might have a different view, and who knows? And that's for me to help people to stop judging so much, you know, because if you know someone's perspective, if you hear the things that they go through, it's kind of harder to judge them, because then you're like, oh, well, that's why they do this, and that's why this is happening. And I feel like people need to hear that and know that. And before I close out this introduction to the podcast, don't stop you from being you. Who you are is not going to stop what is to come and what is for you. Everyone has a path. Everyone has a purpose. And remember to always be a kind human. That should be a message that's always spread, because we all forget to do that sometimes. So always be a kind human. And I can't wait to see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.